Happy Monday and welcome to another Monday Punday here on The Inner Life. Just a reminder that if you have a pun you'd like to share with me that might just make it into a future Monday Punday, click the link on relevantradio.com/innerlife and send it to me with your name, home parish, and city. Now, on to the fun. Have you heard about the blind Cyclops brothers? Neither have I.
Helping you grow deeper on your spiritual journey. Welcome to The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
Welcome to The Inner Life. I'm Patrick Conley. Glad you are joining us for another hour of spiritual direction and one bad pun. We're here to give you a boost in living out your Catholic faith today. Thank you for joining us. So what do you fear? Some popular phobias these days include the fear of public speaking, of dying, of heights, of bugs and insects, of flying, of blood and needles, of being enclosed in small spaces, of strangers, of darkness, and yes, believe it or not, even the fear of zombies. Most of us probably have at least a mild aversion to a few of the things on that list, but is that what we as Americans really fear? Each year for the last decade, Chapman University in Irvine, California has conducted the Chapman University Survey of American Fears, revealing the top 10 fears in America by surveying a nationally representative sample. Last year's survey revealed these things as the top 10 fears in America in 2023. Let's see if these ring a little more true for you. Corrupt government officials, economic or financial collapse, Russia using nuclear weapons, the U.S. becoming involved in another world war, people I love becoming seriously ill, people I love dying, pollution of drinking water, biological warfare, cyber terrorism, and not having enough money for the future. I think the items on that list strike a bit closer to home because they're not based on phobias which are root anxiety disorders that spawn a fearful reaction when there is no real danger. But those top 10 fears pose very real threats, some of which you have seen and will see in your life, like people you love becoming seriously ill or dying, like cyber terrorism, like seeing corruption in government officials. Now the question becomes, how do you deal with fear? And what role does your faith play? How do you trust in God in the midst of threat and danger? We're tackling all these questions and more on today's show as we talk about fear and trust with our spiritual director for the day, Father Chris Walsh, who serves as pastor of St. Cecilia Church in Philadelphia. Welcome back to the program, Father Chris. Glad that you could be with us today.
Thank you so very much, and happy Easter, and may these joyous days where Jesus said again and again, do not fear, and peace help us in our conversation today.
Amen to that. Yeah, that's right. Well, let's get into some of the fears. Now, it seems to me as if the things on that top 10 list put forth by Chapman University, that seems a little bit more like these are things that maybe a lot of people do legitimately fear.
There are. And I often joke that, the top two fears often on lists are number one, public speaking, and number two, dying, which means that you'd rather die than speak at someone else's funeral,
Right.
Which I don't think, when we sort of start unpacking the fears are necessarily there. I think those fears that are on that list are real for many people. I think especially if you're someone who's watching the news a lot, world terrorism and cybersecurity issues and identity theft, if you're constantly barraged by those messages, they can sort of become inflated to think that there's actually more of a threat than there is, which is often how fears come about. I think in the context in which I live and in this parish and in this place, I think other fears are just getting old alone and no one's going to be around to drive you to your doctor's appointments, or yeah. people are going to forget you. You're going to end up in some apartment forgotten. As family breakdown happens and people move away, right? Our society is bigger. People don't all stay in their same hometown anymore. And I think there's lots of fears just around kids losing their faith, right? Where's the world going? Where's our parish going,
yeah.
Right? As the number of funerals outnumbers the number of baptisms or first communions. So I think a lot of those fears to add to the list, I hate to add more fears, but I think they're the kind of things that they often come up with. And even for people that are not old, the fear of being alone. It's a legitimate fear. And they see so many seniors who are alone and life becomes more difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one of the things, too, is that they can be, I want to go back to one of the things you said, that when some of these fears are played upon, be it by, you know, news networks or be it by friends and neighbors, that sort of thing, there's played upon some way, they're drummed up, they're given a greater power in our lives because it continues to focus our attention more and more on them, and then it oftentimes leaves us in this feeling, this state of, well, what can we do about these things? And what, I mean, I guess before we get into what we can do about these things, which is what we want to spend the bulk of the show on, I think is there good wisdom in maybe not exposing ourselves as much as it's in our control to some of this playing upon these fears?
I have to tell you how often in conversations with people who bring up these kind of fears that sometimes we have to limit our exposure to the news. I think sometimes we have to limit, here in Philadelphia, I use an app called the Citizen app, which sort of lets me know whenever there's a crime within a few miles of where I'm living or where I am in that moment. And there have been times where I've had to silence the app, like, because I was becoming paranoid. When in reality, these incidents were probably no more frequent than they've been for a number of years, but because I'm aware of them, it's setting me up. Like, I don't know that I was in any more danger, but because I'm constantly thinking about cars being stolen or people being assaulted or stores being robbed or houses being broken into, I'm being alerted, it's 8 miles away, it's 9 miles away, it's 7 miles away. That doesn't mean that I'm under a threat right now, but I begin thinking about it. So I think sometimes we have to limit our exposure to this, not to be ignorant, but if it's causing us fear, unrational fear, unnecessary fear, then we have to limit our exposure.
And I'm also wondering, Father, if some of these fears can kind of run in the background. Like, we might not be cognizant of them or conscious that they are taking up, you know, time or producing anxiety within us, but yet it seems to me that there's this propensity for some of these fears anyway to kind of steal away in the back of our minds and maybe provoke us to an uneasy sense, a sense that would, and in more Christian or Catholic terms, would serve to rob us of our peace.
Yeah, and I think where we begin noticing that maybe is I'm tossing and turning at night and I'm not sure why.
Right. Yeah.
I don't have a spirit of quiet. Maybe I've got a little tension in my chest or in my belly, and I'm not sure why. Maybe I don't even want to pray, right? Because I feel distant from God. If I feel like I'm under attack, there's a reason why Jesus comes to the disciples in the upper room again and again and says, "Peace, don't fear, I'm with you." Because, you know, in their fear, they felt as though God wasn't with them. And so if we notice the typical signs of anxiety, of fear, I think that's, okay, where's this coming from? Where is this coming from? And again, we might not consider ourselves fear because we go on roller coasters, we go up ladders, we get on airplanes. We're not afraid of spiders, but maybe there's something else going on.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking today with our spiritual director, Father Chris Walsh, pastor of St. Cecilia Church in Philadelphia, about fear and trust. How do we overcome fear with trust? So where do you have fear in your life? Are there certain things that you are most, wake you up at night and you're thinking about them? Or as Father was just saying, maybe you have some tension that you can sense in your body. Maybe you don't know where that fear is coming from, and you'd like to talk about that as well. Give us a call and join the conversation. 888-914-9149 is our number here on The Inner Life. That number is sponsored. That toll-free studio line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. Again, the number is 888-914-9149. Or if you prefer, you can send us an email at innerlife@relevantradio.com, and we'll do our best to get you on the air with Father Chris Walsh. Well, Father, too, as we're looking at these multiple fears, and do you think that this is something that's kind of woven into human existence? I mean, there seems to be something of a bit of a survival mode. You were talking about silencing the crime app on your phone. There's got to be some kind of natural, well, that does play into our well-being in the sense that it makes us more heightenedly aware of our own survival.
Exactly. So certainly if we go back, you know, not terribly long in human history, right? We need to be aware of the attack of the predator, of the other military, of the other tribe coming at us. You know, there needs to be that, right? It's something that parents actually try to instill in their children, right? A fear of the cars on the street, a fear of strangers, a fear of the dogs running wild, right? And, and so, yeah, I think there's something innate in us as human beings. And there have been some studies, men and women being sensitive to different types of fears. Men certainly more sensitive to sort of outside threats, you know, and outsiders coming in, women more attuned to the threats sort of in the locale and in the more immediate sense. But I think as human beings, right, it's there and it's necessary for our survival. I think that when we often talk about fears and Jesus casting out fears, you know, it's not that we become, you know, unafraid of, you know, an attack, but I think it's when things become irrational, when things become difficult, you know, I'm sure we'll talk at some point about we need to have a healthy fear of the Lord, right? We need to have a healthy fear of going to hell. We need to have a healthy fear of our sin offending other people. You know, so I think what we're talking about here really is, and what Jesus is saying, you know, cast out your fears, do not be afraid, are the things that are keeping us from living life well, the things that are keeping us from being the virtuous people that we're meant to be.
Yeah, I remember back, this is some years ago now, when the no fear was one of the popular slogans and logos that you would see on T-shirts and bumper stickers and that sort of thing. And I remember there was a Christian take on that, which said simply one fear, and meaning the fear of the Lord. And so as long as we're on the topic, Father, yeah, what is that? What is a healthy fear of the Lord?
I think, we often need to come back to our own experiences in our families. And I think that's the beauty of our God who is revealed to us as a father, right? And I'm not sure if this was your experience growing up, but certainly my parents instilled in me a healthy fear of them. I did not want to fear. I didn't want to upset my parents. I didn't want to cause embarrassment to my parents. I didn't want the teacher to call my mom or dad, you know, and give a bad report. Why? Because first off, I wanted to look good in my parents' eyes. I wanted them to be proud of me, but I also didn't want punishment. I didn't want them to ground me. I didn't want them to take away the privileges or the nighttime snacks or whatever it was. And so I think if we have had that experience in our life, right, of a healthy fear, a sense of which I think it can be interpreted even as a level of respect, right, and desire to be pleasing to, and then we transfer that over to the Lord, what is it? Well, I know as a Christian that at the end of my life, I'm going to be judged, right? I can pretend that's not going to happen. I can try to argue that that's not going to happen, but I know from Scripture that at the end of my life, I'm going to need to give an accounting. And so, yes, God is loving, but he's also just. Mm-hmm. And he's going to ask me, Chris, why did you do that? Chris, why did you ignore those people? You know, Chris, why were you not more committed to the opportunities I gave you? Why were you not more zealous when the opportunity came? And so I'm going to have to give an accounting. And I think that's what the fear of the Lord is, that I'm mindful that God is greater than I am, that God is sovereign, that he is Lord, and that my future is in his hands.
All right. I think there's more to be said on that, and so we will return to it soon. But let's pause here to take a phone call. Robert's calling in from New York. Good afternoon, Robert. Welcome to the program.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. My question for Father Walsh is, we read so much about, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. So many scriptural references to not fearing because of faith. In my own experience, I have a lot of fears, and yet I try to have faith and, you know, believe in God. How much fear is warranted if one has faith? If one has faith, does that imply that your fears are limited and you really shouldn't fear?
Yeah. So, I don't know your specific circumstances, you know, Robert, and certainly this wouldn't be the forum to expose that. But I think if we think back a few years ago to COVID, right, there was a bumper sticker and T-shirts, right? I choose faith over fear, right? Well, at the beginning of the pandemic, when we didn't know what it was, I think there needed to be a healthy fear, right? What is this virus? How's it affecting people, right? And so it wasn't like, you know, oh, you know, if you wear a mask, if you're washing your hands, if you're, you know, if you're going to get a vaccine, then you don't have faith, right? No, that's ridiculous, right? We have to understand where our fears are coming from. I think where the scripture is coming in, and we always have to look at scripture in context, right? So, for instance, this morning at Daily Mass, we're going through the readings about Stephen, who's the first martyr. And, you know, we're told that Stephen remains resolute, right? He's not fearful, even though folks are coming to get him. Well, in some sense, you could look at that and say, well, Stephen's nuts, right? People are coming to kill him. The Romans are going to kill him. The Jewish leaders want him dead. How is it that he's not afraid? Well, because similar to those Psalms you quoted, and the Psalm that we prayed at Mass today, which I think was 119, you know, he's saying, you know, Lord, I choose your ways. You know, why? Because, I might die. I might die. But in the end, my soul is going to be saved. And so I think that's what we have to look at. Like, what are your fears, Robert? Are they keeping you from living life? Are they keeping you from trusting in the Lord? Or do the fears actually appear and become opportunities for you to trust more in the Lord?
And that might be a good jumping off point. Thank you, Robert. Thank you for the call and thank you for the question. Very astute one at that. But that might be a good jumping off point, Father, to talk about, well, perhaps we can look at God in a way that conjures fear that does go beyond what the fear of the Lord is supposed to be particularly about. For instance, we could see God as this this smiting God that's just waiting for us to mess up so he can, you know, lay out punishment and cast us in hell, that sort of thing, yeah? So how do we avoid that end of the spectrum as well, Father?
As always, I think it comes back to what is our image of God, right?
Yeah.
Is it a loving Father who desires my salvation? Is it a loving Savior who wants to walk with me? Is it a loving Holy Spirit who wants to sanctify me and who wants to reveal to me the gift of peace and patience and understanding and generosity? So often we have to come back. If God is a policeman, if God is a despot, you know, okay, well, yeah, I'm going to have this bizarre fear, and anything that bad happens, well, that's just God punishing me. Well, that's, you know, again, does God punish us at times? Yeah. Or does God use the things of life to cause punishment? Sure. Yeah, that's real. But I would say let's come back and understand who God is. Again, because you have fears does not mean you don't have faith. But I think the fears reveal an area where you could grow in faith.
Okay. Oh, I like that a lot. All right. We're going to hang on to that one. Let's squeeze in one more phone call before we take our first break, Father. Charlie's calling in from Arizona. Good morning, Charlie. Thanks for calling The Inner Life.
Good morning. Thank you for your program. I've always thought of fear as the absence of God, not as a part of God. But when fear is there, God is absent. And therefore, I sort of connect fear with evil or the devil. Is that wrong?
So, I mean, you know, so fear is an emotion, right? You know, we can get into this idea, does evil really exist, or is evil a privation of good, right? And I mean, that's a truism in our Catholic understanding. Fear, however, would be more of an emotion, right? And it is real. It is real. And again, I think it's what happens with it afterwards, right? So like my anger, right? I can be angry at a situation. It's morally neutral, my anger. What do I then do with my anger? So I'm angry, you know, with, you know, a parishioner who said something mean about me. This is totally hypothetical. My parishioners never say anything mean about anyone, right? But I'm mad at someone who said something mean about me. Okay, well, what do I do with the emotion? What do I do with the emotion? Do I forgive the person? Do I try to have understanding? Do I reach out to them? Or do I then, you know, go on Facebook and talk about it or confront the person? If I'm angry, let it be without sin. Same with our fear. I can feel afraid, but what do I do with it? If it paralyzes me, well, that's a problem. If it keeps me from engaging in life and ministry and enjoying the things of goodness and God, well, yeah, that's a problem. And I think I need to really look at that. But if I use the fear as an occasion to sort of examine things, okay, that's what I felt. What do I do with that? Where's that coming from? And then make the choice for goodness and virtue. Then I think God is very much in that moment.
Very good. Charlie, great question. Thank you for calling in and for your listening to The Inner Life today. We're talking today about fear and trust in the Lord and how we can, yeah, well, Father, as you said, fears reveal where we can grow in our faith. How are we gonna do that when we're confronted by various fears? Well, give us a call, join the conversation, and let us know where you're needing to grow in faith and shedding some of the fear. So our number here at The Inner Life is 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. Our email address is innerlife@relevantradio.com. We're going to take our first break, but when we come back, we'll have more of the conversation with Father Chris Walsh on fear and trust coming up right after this. Stay with us. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas.
I'm gonna keep on.
Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio, on relevantradio.com and the Relevant Radio app. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Patrick Conley. Today we are talking about fear and trusting in God. How do we address those places in our lives where we're experiencing fear with trust? How do we turn it over to the Lord? If you'd like to be part of the conversation, join us at 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. Our spiritual director today is Father Chris Walsh, pastor of St. Cecilia Church in Philadelphia. And we were just before the break there, Father, talking about fear in general and specifically how that differs from fear in the Lord. So let's bring those two together and start addressing how we address the fears that we have in our lives. Do we do that through the fear of the Lord?
Sure. First of all, you've probably heard the acronym before. You know, fear breaks down as false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. So you know, take my fear of a dog, right? Now, the fear that we're talking about, the unhealthy fear, is that, you know, every dog that walks past me is going to jump on me and attack me. Well, that's not usually the case, right? However, there are dogs that, if given the opportunity, are going to jump on me and attack me. So I need to have a healthy fear. You know, when I walk through the neighborhood, you know, I keep an eye out, right? I'm not a big fan of the pit bull, you know, who's going to run and jump on me and knock me down, right? And so I do think we have to differentiate, right? I should have a fear. I'm supposed to go back to the Holy Land in January. I wouldn't say I'm afraid, but I'm very cautious, right? There's a lot of stuff going on there. I'm not sure I want to be with a group of pilgrims and encourage others to go with me at this time in history, right? Because things are happening, right? Certainly things could happen anywhere, but it's more likely to happen there, right? Given the war that is unfolding in that part of the world. And so We have to measure things out, and we have to be honest, right, with ourselves that this fear is even there, right? This time of year, priests receive new assignments, right? And so what happens in parishes? Well, the priest might be afraid, right? What's it going to be like at my new assignment? Am I going to fit in? Am I going to meet people? Can I learn this new language that I need to learn? Am I up for this new responsibility? Parishioners fear, who are they sending me, right? Who's the bishop going to send us? What's going to happen to our parish? What's going to happen to my ministry? What's going to happen to the devotions that we like? Okay, well, I have to acknowledge that it's there. It's there. And how's it affecting me? And then you're right, coming back to the fear of the Lord, God is sovereign. God is almighty. And we have a God who cares about what we care about, right? That's why he came to that upper room and said, you know, why are you troubled, right? That was the gospel yesterday. Why are you troubled? And Jesus wants to say the same to us. Why are you afraid, right? Do you believe that I'm risen? Do you believe that I've conquered death? Do you believe that I've overcome sin? And I can do that in you, right? But it's a slow process. So again, if we have a fear, it doesn't mean that we're not faithful. It doesn't mean that we're weak. It doesn't mean that the devil's attacking us. It's a human emotion that I think opens us up to say, okay, Lord, this is an area where I need to trust you more. At times, for some people, I think they probably need maybe some psychological help or some particularly focused spiritual direction. They might need some deliverance, right, if there were some traumas in the past. And so there's a particular trigger around a certain behavior, a certain situation that they need, you know, particular deliverance on. But I think for most of us, saying, okay, I am afraid. This is why I'm afraid. Okay, Lord, help me. Help me grow in this area. And prayers of trust, right? We just, last week, divine mercy, right? What's the words that are written on every image of divine mercy? Jesus, I trust you.
Right.
I trust you that you're going to see me through this. You're going to get me through this.
Right. I think we've got a caller calling in that's right along those lines, too. Anne is calling in from Wisconsin. Anne, welcome to The Inner Life. Thanks for calling in.
Well, thank you for having me. Hi, everybody. I just wanted to say, you know, I really appreciate the show and listening to what you're talking about today. Fear is a big thing. There's so much going on in the world that it's just, I watch the news, listen to the news, and it just drives me crazy to listen to it. And it really bothers me. And, you know, family stuff going on that's not so good. And there's nights I can't sleep or days I can't hardly think sometimes because it just bothers me so much. But then I think, trusting in God, I've seen him do so much in the world and in my personal life that is just amazing. And I encourage people, or maybe it's I'm being too simplistic, but I imagine myself sitting at the feet of God and holding on for dear life and saying, God, you're in control. You're the one I trust. And leave it that way because there's nothing else I can do.
Amen, Anne. Right? So oftentimes these things can paralyze us, right? And for parents, gosh, I can't imagine what it's like now to send a kid off to college, right? For young people who are graduating this year, right? The economy's tough, right? Layoffs are real. Job opportunities are few. The dating scene can be scary for a young person who's a committed, virtuous Christian. I get it, right? I get it. And so there's so many things to worry about. The violence, the decreasing number of Christians, right? And yet, what can I control? Well, I can control that I can trust the Lord, and the Lord is with me for today, and he's told me that he's going to guard me, and he's going to protect me. And so I'm going to choose that, and I'm going to believe in that, and I'm going to move forward. If the fear manifests itself again in some way, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you on this. I surrender this to you, and yeah. I move forward.
Yeah. Maybe when a situation, and this isn't, Anne, thank you so much for the call, and I just want to expand on that too, Father, that it occurs to me that some of the fears that we've talked about may be fears that, again, are played upon and they're deepened over time because there's so much attention played into them. But there's some fears that, you know, it happens in a moment, right? So we might just learn that a family member has been diagnosed with a terminal illness. I mean, and then, you know, it all comes up all at once. And is it, what's the right thing to do? I guess what I'm asking, Father, is in that moment, like you said, you know, recognizing, first of all, being honest with ourselves that the fear is there. I fear that this beloved family member is now going to die. It's going to be taken from my life in the next couple, whatever, weeks, months, years. So how do we trust in God in that moment? How do we pray? Do we turn it over to him? Do we use specific words? Do we, you know, what do we do?
Sure. I think that you're right onto it. And I think that's a great example. When I get a health diagnosis, when someone I love gets a diagnosis, wow, like it's so heavy. I'm afraid I'm going to lose them. I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to go through the treatments, whatever it is.
Right.
And I do think the specific wording is, Lord, I choose to trust you. Lord, I'm not going to allow fear to paralyze me. Right? I'm not going to fear death, right? Because you conquered death, right? And I think this is where we as Christians need to be ready to pray with others, because certainly the person who's in that moment, the spouse of the person who's in the moment, the parent of the one that is in the moment, probably is not going to be able to pray,
yeah.
Right? And so we as Christians, as companions, as chaplains, as pastors, as deacons, as good prayer leaders in parishes, like, we have to be able to say, you know, Lord, you are almighty. Lord, you are God, right? And while we pray for healing, Lord, even if healing does not come, we believe that, you know, you want us to be with you forever, Yeah. Right? And so it does strengthen. Not that we're foolish, right? I don't have a death wish. I'd like to live a long time and serve the Lord and enjoy the beauty of creation and enjoy people and laugh. But I know that eventually, you know, I want to go to heaven. And that's the promise, and that's what I hold on to.
Yeah, and in that moment, I mean, that's tough. It's tough maybe even to say those words, especially if, like you said, maybe there, if it were me who's receiving this diagnosis, I don't know. I don't know how I'd be praying. I mean, I would be praying, but I don't know whether I'd be, you know, Lord, I'm choosing to trust you, or quite frankly, whether I'd be yelling at God, you know, and saying, how could you let this happen, and that sort of thing. So, but in those moments, I guess the trust issue that I want to get into, Father, is that it's not always easy to trust God. And it seems like in some of the more difficult circumstances of life, that presents a unique challenges to our trust in God. And I guess is number one, is that God, is he testing us when those types of things come up?
Yeah, I think that sometimes, you know, there are tests, right? We see that in the scripture, right? Whether, you know, it's Abraham, you know, in a sense, Mary and Joseph, Zechariah, right? Being put to the test, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so many opportunities. I think every health diagnosis is a test. How much do we trust? And again, a test does not mean that God caused it, right? But I think there's situations, and some of the ones in the scripture, God was certainly the direct actor. But I think oftentimes the God uses the situations of life, you know, as a test for us to measure where we are, right? In the circumstances of everyday life, right? We might say that we're a person who's filled with the Spirit of God. And while part of the fruits of that Spirit is gentleness, right? And peace. Well, if things go wrong and I'm running around screaming, well, guess what? Maybe I'm not as filled with the Spirit as I thought.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think these tests come all the time, and it doesn't mean God's initiating them to try to get us, right? To catch us like a police officer or something.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, I think that that's, as I'm thinking about that, I think that that's, I mean, that seems to be the circumstances, the situation where it can feel that way. I mean, it can feel that, well, God is doing this to me. And we can start, you know, our image of God can start to warp in there. But that's an invitation, isn't it, to go back to our image of God and to see him once again, as you've said numerous times already, Father. This is a loving Father who desires our salvation.
That's it. That's it. Yeah.
Very good. We are talking about fear and trust with our spiritual director, Father Chris Walsh, right now, pastor of St. Cecilia Church in Philadelphia. And we are open to your phone calls. If you'd like to get in on the program, maybe you're wrestling with one of these particular moments right now where you are fearful and it's hard to trust, and you have a question for Father Chris Walsh, give us a call and join the conversation on The Inner Life at 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. Or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. Father, I want to take a quick just departure from our discussion to welcome Josh Raymond into the studio, Vice President, Director of Programming and Production, and former host here of The Inner Life. He's in studio with us to chat a bit about the upcoming National Eucharistic Congress. Good morning, Josh. Welcome back to The Inner Life.
Yeah, it's good to be back on the air with you and with Father Chris Walsh, and I miss my conversations with so many good priests that you have on during this hour, Patrick, but I'm glad to be here with you.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I hear word on the street is that things are filling up pretty fast for the Congress.
Well, that's exactly right. As far as, at least if you want to travel with Relevant Radio to the National Eucharistic Congress. And we had, a couple months ago, several hundred hotel rooms available for anybody who wanted to travel with us. And we've got not very many left, about 90 of those left. Hundreds have been taken so far. And the main reason that we're coming to you, the listener, and saying, hey, you know, we'd love to have you travel with us. Number one, we really want you to be there at the National Eucharistic Congress. Mm-hmm. This is such an important kind of once-in-a-generation milestone that we have the opportunity to participate in. And, you know, Patrick, when I first learned about the National Eucharistic Congress, I knew it was part of the overall revival, the Eucharistic revival that the bishops had called for in our country. I thought it was at the very end. I thought it was, you know, of a 3-year revival, it was supposed to be the last thing, big hurrah, you know, to send us off and end. But it's not. It's only at the end of year two, and it's supposed to engage and motivate and excite us as Catholics to then go out back to our communities, our home parishes, encounter our family, our friends, so that that third year, we're helping to spread that excitement, that enthusiasm we got from attending the National Eucharistic Congress.
Exactly. It's a kind of a transfiguration event, right? We see the transfigured Lord in front of us. We see the Lord present to us in the Blessed Sacrament, and we're together with so many different other members of the body of Christ. And then it's back to the work of salvation and joy and peace and love and mercy and grace and all of those wonderful things. Now, just with that in mind, Josh, I got to ask you, so what do you think someone will miss if they don't attend?
I've been thinking about that. I think it's going to be one of those events where you'll hear about other people talking about it afterwards, and it's just going to be a powerful. I really think that we're going to see a lot of fruit come from this. I don't know exactly how that would be. I have this idea that there will actually be a number of vocations that will come forth out of this event, you know, that's to the priesthood, to religious life, whatever it might be. It might even be just holy sacramental marriages, you know, that people realize where they're being called by God.
Mm-hmm. I think that's an important piece, too, that I'll be honest, I hadn't really put all that much consideration into, although it has run through my mind of a couple of young men that I know that I would like to make sure are there for that very reason. There's a benefit, of course, to traveling with Relevant Radio to the National Eucharistic Congress. What are some of those benefits, John?
Sure. One of the biggest ones is the fact that there's not really any lodging or hardly anything that's available at a reasonable rate in downtown Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And Relevant Radio had locked up, like I mentioned earlier, several hundred hotel rooms there in the downtown area. And as we've watched these last few months pass by, less rooms are available. If you want to book a room right now, you're almost certainly going to have to drive in from wherever your lodging is. About 30 to 60 minutes, depending on where you're staying. You'll have to drive in and drive back out each day, unless you stay with Relevant Radio, because we're right there on site. You know, it's a sky bridge, or it's right across the street, essentially, from the convention center and from Lucas Oil Stadium, where all the big events are going to be happening. On top of that, you also get to sit with all of the people who have traveled with Relevant Radio. Father Rocky, our executive director here at Relevant Radio, he has a brand new book called Treasures of the Eucharist. It's not even been officially printed yet, but everybody who travels with Relevant Radio gets their ticket to the National Eucharistic Congress. They'll get a copy of that. To the point that even if you don't travel with us, if you don't, you know, if you've got your own lodging, if you've got whatever, you know, plans, maybe you've got some family that lived in Indianapolis and you're going to stay with them this summer, still get your ticket to the Congress with us, because you'll get that copy of Father Rocky's book when you get that ticket to the event through Relevant Radio.
Wow, it's really exciting. I was so pleased to hear that the entire Relevant Radio family, because Relevant Radio being a premier sponsor of the event, and we're all going, and I was so excited to hear that we're going to go as a family, and I look forward to meeting many of our listeners and supporters there, because this is going to be, as you put it, Josh, a once in a lifetime event.
Yeah, and that's actually a lot of the feedback we've gotten from people. They're going first and foremost, of course, because of the focus on Jesus Christ present in the Eucharist and that experience. But a second thing that we've heard from most of the people who have signed up, they're just really excited to be there with other Relevant Radio listeners, and especially the opportunity to meet you and Drew Mariani, Father Rocky, Patrick Madrid, Cale, Timmery, you know, all the different voices that you hear every day here on Relevant Radio.
Absolutely. All right, Josh, well, tell us, where can we find out more then?
Very easy. Just go to relevantradio.com or click on the Relevant Radio app, and you'll see where you can go. And it's right there on the front page of our website. It's the first thing you see when you open up the Relevant Radio app. And when you click on the banner, it'll take you to a site where you have two options. One option is you can learn more. You can find out about the Congress. If you don't know very much about it, that's where you can look at the schedule. You can see everything that's happening there. The other option, it is a button that says book now. And if you click on that, then it has a bunch of fields that you can fill out with your information, and it'll go to our partner that's helping coordinate all of this, Nativity Pilgrimages, and they'll go ahead and get your information, and they will get back to you as quickly as possible. And they customize every single travel package because we have people coming from all different places around the country. Wow. So, you know, your needs are not the needs of somebody else who might be coming. You know, if you're listening in Los Angeles right now, it's not the same as somebody who's listening in the Chicago area or in New York or Austin or Dallas or wherever, you know, other people are coming from. But so, again, everything's customized to whatever you need. Or you can just even get, again, like I said, your own just tickets there if you want to take care of your lodging some other way.
Yeah. Well, Josh, it's good to hear your voice again back here on the airwaves and especially here on The Inner Life. Thanks so much for all this great information. I look forward to seeing you at the Congress.
I know. It'll be exciting. Yeah. Thanks so much, Patrick and Father Chris Walsh. I'm so glad I get to listen to you still here on The Inner Life. So thanks for being a part of The Inner Life Priests.
Thank you. And thanks for good work you're doing.
Well, Josh Raymond, our Vice President and Director of Programming Production, talking about the Eucharistic Congress. Check out the travel packages at relevantradio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. We're going to take this opportunity to take our next break, but we're going to come back with more of the conversation with our Spiritual Director, Father Chris Walsh, on fear and trust. We'll try to get some phone calls on the air, some emails read and responded to right after this short break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas.
He gives me peace, joy, and love, and freedom
in my soul.
Jesus' love has brought me out. His love has made me whole.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to The Inner Life. My name is Patrick Conley. My thanks to Nick Centovich, our producer, Thomas Engesser, taking your phone calls today, and to our spiritual director, Father Chris Walsh, as we're talking about fear and trust. How do you address the fears in your life with trust in God? Have you found some great ways of doing that and hanging on the Lord and His every word of love to us? Let's go back to the phones. Linda is calling in from Arizona. Good morning, Linda. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Patrick and Father Chris. How are you?
Doing well.
Very well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
Good, good. God bless you. I want to share what I do, and it's so effective during my moments and experience when I have to deal with fear. A sweet, dear friend, priest of mine, gave me this prayer called the Litany of the Fearful Heart. Litany of the Fearful Heart. And I've even used this litany as a novena. And I've noticed that it calms me down and it serves to remind me that God is in control. And this
praise
priest
Lord
that I know of, he prays this every single day. And I'm telling you, it has been so helpful for me. And I hope that, you know, but when people are having difficult family issues and difficulties just in life, that they get a hold of this prayer. I got it also off of the internet. So that's how, you know, I was able to get it. And I give it to my friends as gifts. And when they call me and I don't know how to help them, I have no idea. But I give them this litany and it's changed their lives. So I hope it can help someone. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you so much, Linda. And I think I'm not familiar with that litany, but other litanies of trust. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy, asking the intercession of Mary, you know, who chose not to fear when the angel came, not to fear when she stood at the cross watching her son die, but chose the path of trust and faith.
Amen to that. Linda, thank you so much for the phone call. Appreciate that and the suggestion, the Litany of the Fearful Heart. That's a great suggestion. Thank you so much for that. Let's go now to Job calling in from California. Job, welcome to the program.
Hey, Patrick, thank you. Thank you for getting my call.
Yeah.
I just wanted to share, I recently lost two friends of violence. And ever since, I've never been a man of anxiety or anything like that. But ever since, everything that happens to me now related to, like, my health or whatever, I have this anxiety kicks in, and then just kind of like fear, like of dying also, you know. And sometimes I don't know, like Father said, it's maybe just Jesus trying to get me closer to prayer, but sometimes I just don't know how to deal with the fear or on everything that happens.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I'm so sorry for your loss. I can't imagine losing people. And I think when we lose them to violence, especially, it's particularly hard because we didn't have a chance to have closure. And there's so much misunderstanding as to what happened, right? Who caused what, right? When violence comes and takes people. So first off, take care of yourself as you grieve, right? And I think fear after an act of violence is a very normal reaction, right? It's a very, is this going to happen to me, right? And it sounds like you're noticing some of those movements in your own life of being unsettled, right? So it sounds like it's new, it's recent. And so give it time. When you fear the fear, say a Hail Mary, right? Say a Lord's Prayer, right? That deliver me from evil, right? Lord, provide for me to this day. And really pray it from the heart. You know, because the Lord cares for you, cares for your friends also, and wants to welcome them into paradise. But wants you to, you know, get, maybe he's trying to get your attention again, not that he caused these deaths, but he goes, you know, use the circumstance to get your attention to be, you know, a holier man, right? And to know that he's with you today and wants to do great things in you and through you.
Mm-hmm. It is the season for rejoicing in the resurrection and thanking God for that. So what a gift that is. Job, thank you for the phone call. Prayers for you in your sorrow and your grieving. And yeah, hopefully that there's plenty of ways in which you are led to turn to the Lord and trusting in him on a deeper and deeper level each and every day. Thank you, Job, for the call. Let's go now to Patty calling in from Phoenix. Patty, good morning. Welcome to the Inner Life.
Good morning. Yeah, I think listening to your show has probably answered some of my questions. How would I balance my fears? I got very sick like 3-4 years ago, and I became sick and losing a lot of weight, and I feared eating. And then from there, I feared everything. But what I think it needed to happen that I got this fear, because I got closer to God and I became a server of my parish at the time that I was going to. And I felt like that it really helped me. And I did a lot of praying. I got closer and closer and closer to God. And, you know, that's how I spread that word out. I tell everybody, I'm not ashamed of my fears. So I tell everybody, and I think if you need somebody to talk to, people are out there to listen, because then you find out that people out there fear everything as well. You know, you're not the only one. And I felt like I was the only one in this world that feared eating, feared a sickness or a pain that I had in my body. You know, I feared walking out of my house. I feared being in my house. And, you know, I feel like I now I know that I'm not the only one. And, you know, you discover that there's people around you, your own family members, that come forward and say, hey, that's how I feel, you know, and not that it's, you know, I feel happy about it, but it's a comforting feeling that I'm not alone.
Absolutely. Patty, I'm just going to jump in here to give Father Waltz a chance to respond as we're down to our last minute or so. But thank you for that.
Patty, praise God for your honesty with people and walking with people. And I think your willingness to share, okay, this is where I've been afraid, and this is what God has done for me. Praise the Lord. It's what the saints have done, right? We didn't get a chance to talk about the saints, but folks like, I'm thinking often of Mother Teresa, you know, who I have a great love for. You know, it took her 3 years to say yes and step out to form the Missionaries of Charity when she was a Loretto sister, because she was afraid. And the Lord just kept saying to her, trust me, trust me. And, you know, her community, there's three charisms for the Missionaries of Charity: cheerfulness, loving trust, and total surrender. And they were born from mother's own struggle with fear. So your witnessing, your fear in what God did can become a great blessing to another.
Yeah, I think, and Patty, thank you for the phone call, but I think that that's a great note to wind up this show. There's more to talk about, as you said, Father, but particularly, I mean, the role of the community, that when you said at first we need to be honest with ourselves that the fear is there, yeah, maybe we need to be honest with a few trusted members of our community as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, just checking in. All right. Well, thank you so much, Father, for being our spiritual director today as we are... So we're talking about trust and fear and trust. How do we get through? How do we get through our fears by trusting in the Lord? Father, as you know, we'd like to close the show with a blessing. May we have that from you now, please.
Through the intercession of our Blessed Mother and all the saints and angels, may Almighty God bless you, deliver you from fear, and increase your trust in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Because you have fear does not mean you don't have faith, but fears can reveal where we can grow in our faith. That was from Father earlier in the show. If you missed that or anything else on the program, go to relevantradio.com/innerlife. And by the way, we've got a related topic coming up tomorrow, and that is remaining faithful, staying faithful in unfaithful environments where things are threatening our faith. So tune in for that. Our spiritual director will be Father Tom Wilson. Coming up next, of course, is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Our celebrant today is Father Edward Looney. And so grateful that you have joined us for The Inner Life. Remember to check out relevantradio.com for those travel packages to the Eucharistic Congress. Hope to see you there as we all show up for Jesus together. Until next time, friends, grace and peace.